Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask that you plant that seed of faith deep in our hearts, water it with your word, nourish it with your Son, and let your light shine upon it, and let it come to fruition however you see fit. Amen. In our gospel text today, a king is throwing a huge party for his son, as in a wedding party, and calling his friends and pretty much everybody he knows around town. In Jesus' day, there were RSVPs just like there are today. If you said yes to the invitation, then that means that the individual would need to prep for food and accommodations and all those other things, just like today. So in essence, not much has changed in the last 2,000 years as far as wedding preparation goes. And it's surprising that the king sent out messengers to tell them and everybody to get ready to come. Until you think about it, they didn't necessarily know exactly when 2 o'clock was in the afternoon. So they would send out these messengers to grab everybody and say, "All right, the party's started. Come on in." So he sends out these messengers and invites them to come now that the party is ready. But he waits and he waits and no one shows up. So then he sends out his messengers again and says, "No, really, I'm for real. The party is getting ready to start. Come on over. I've got so much food and so much entertainment. This party is going to be a blast. Come on to my party for my son." And he waits and no one shows up. And this time, though, they ignore him and choose other options instead of attending the party. Some even attack his messengers, and some kill the messengers. All these are allusions to what will happen to Jesus shortly. There's even an allusion, as the gospel story continues, to the destruction of the temple and the fire and the destruction of the city itself, which Matthew hears for those he wrote the letter to would actually understand and incorporate that into their understanding of the story as well. Now the frustrated king invites anyone who would celebrate with him, desperate because he's got this huge party and nobody is showing up. So since his closest friends won't come, he's going to invite not only the good but also the bad, it says in scriptures, which means all of the tax collectors, the soldiers, Romans, people who do shady things in the middle of the night, and even the foreigners are invited to this party. And the parable says that they were invited to God's table. Now this would have shocked the Jewish community of the day and the hearers of this word, and they would get them thinking about what Jesus had said to them. Now the king and guests are enjoying the party until the king makes his way around and notices someone who doesn't have his wedding robe on. After a discussion, he is tossed out. If both the good and the bad are invited, though, why is this man tossed out? Was he a wedding crasher, perhaps? Did he forget his robe at home that day? Clearly, he's not like the others wearing the robe. So why was this man tossed out? I've heard this story many times and heard it explained in many different ways. Some had said that he was not clean and tidy like the others. Perhaps he didn't believe like the others did. But what if there is more to this story than what we see on the surface? Perhaps a different angle. I recently read an article that changed my interpretation of this gospel text, and I wanted to share it with you. In this story, a chaplain in a jail held weekly Bible study time for the inmates. He had a few regulars, and once in a while, someone new would join them. One time, an inmate named Jerry heard the gospel story at this Bible study session, and it touched him deeply. He wanted others to hear what he heard. Now, gang leaders have a gift for recruitment. They excel at gathering the unwanted and the unreachable. They can recruit better than most of us. I pick up the chaplain's paraphrase story here. The entire upper tier, minus the old guy who refused, now emptied into our Sunday circle, with eager interest, all responding to Jerry's means of persuasion. I saw more than bullying in Jerry. I saw raw dynamic of apostolic growth. Jerry begins to explain the Bible passage that we just read and how it impacted him. So, he says, the king sends out more of his messengers to the streets. He's looking for more people, right? Jerry was now out of his chair with the Bible in his hand, ready to act out this scene to his cohort. He continues, so Jesus, I mean the king or whatever, is throwing this gangster party, but he's all rejected by the people with money who, I guess, have better things to do. But he doesn't want to have a party and nobody comes, so he invites the street people. See, people like me, we know we're all bad people and we know where they are, all the bad people are at. So we got to be the ones to go and invite them, right? I'm your messenger right here. There's a lot of us out there. I mean, if the king really wants this house to be full, I'll help him find them. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? If we're at the party having a good time with the king, then there'd be less of us out there on the street stealing cars and stereos, right? You see, that story stirred my soul four separate times as I heard it. Hearing this gospel text from a different person's perspective that I simply cannot relate to or even think of from his perspective shook my core. Suddenly, I'm the one that's not wearing the robe. I'm the one who needs to assess my own life. Martin Luther says that if that gospel text doesn't stir our hearts, then we need to reevaluate it. Turn our assumptions upside down. Make us pause and think. And hopefully that thinking will lead to change. This story has given us much to think about, knowing that God welcomes us all to the banquet, even those like Jerry in the prison system, those who struggle in daily life, and those who seem to have it all together. We are washed clean in the waves of God's mercy, and the invitation has already been extended and affirmed through the waters of holy baptism. So may we be changed by that invitation, and that this gospel text and the story that that jail chaplain shared with us changed our lives so that we can live joyfully, sharing Christ's love in word and service to the world. Amen.